What can Mary's visit to St. Elizabeth teach us today? With the Feast of the Visitation coming up, let's take a moment to reflect together on this beautiful gospel story and what it means for each of us. Stay tuned.
Ave mundis pes Maria.
Welcome to Following Padre Pio. Whether you're a returning viewer or new to our channel, we're thrilled to have you here. Padre Pio, a Capuchin friar and miracle worker, continues to inspire and intercede for souls today. Discover how his legacy can touch your life and the lives of your loved ones. Let's begin this spiritual journey together. Be sure to subscribe and tap the notification bell so you don't miss our next video. Now let's dive into today's story. Hello everyone! Tomorrow is the Feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the day we commemorate the moment described in Luke's Gospel when Mary, after the Annunciation, traveled in haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. Now, while I don't have a Padre Pio story related to this feast, I'd love to share with you a beautiful reflection and prayer by Professor Plinio Cuera de Oliveira. His words unveil the hidden majesty of this encounter, helping us enter more deeply into tomorrow's celebration. So, without further ado, let's dive into the professor's inspiring words. The story of the visitation of Our Lady to Saint Elizabeth is well known. When Saint Gabriel appeared to Our Lady during the Annunciation, he informed her that her cousin, Saint Elizabeth, was with child. Our Lady traveled with Saint Joseph to Saint Elizabeth's house to care for her until her son, Saint John the Baptist, was born. Although Our Lady had already conceived the child Jesus, she had not told anyone. Nevertheless, Saint Elizabeth had a presentiment that the child Jesus was in Our Lady's womb. Thus, she greeted Our Lady, saying, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." When Our Lady spoke to her, Saint John the Baptist heard Our Lady's voice, was sanctified by it, and leaped for joy inside Saint Elizabeth's womb. This story is rich in applications to the interior life. The professor elaborates. First of all, it highlights the virtue of Saint Elizabeth, whereby she sensed the presence of Our Lord in Our Lady's womb. Obviously, this was a special gift. However, every Catholic should have a high degree of this sense, albeit with less intensity and excellence. Through corresponding to the grace of baptism, a Catholic begins to perceive, so to speak, where God is and where He is not. This applies less to God's physical presence, as in the Eucharist, than His moral and supernatural presence. Thus, the true Catholic senses whether or not something is compatible with God. To do this, he need not have intelligence, culture, or theological training, but rather a Catholic sense of things. Saint Elizabeth epitomized this Catholic sense when she perceived the presence of the child Jesus in Our Lady's womb. This seemingly creates a problem. Saint Joseph was unaware of Our Lord's presence, even though he was greater than Saint Elizabeth. While the Church counsels the faithful not to compare saints, since such comparisons are below the dignity of saints and above human wisdom, the fact remains that Saint Joseph was the most chaste spouse of Our Lady. As such, he had a much greater union with her than Saint Elizabeth, who was only Our Lady's relative. since a saint's greatness is proportional to his union with Our Lady, it would seem that Saint Joseph was much greater. However, if the knowledge of the presence of God is a virtue and Saint Joseph was a greater saint, one would think he also would have perceived the incarnation. Furthermore, he was truly Our Lady's husband. As such, he possessed a true right over the legitimate fruit of her womb, even though he was not our Lord's father. This problem is easily resolved. God distributes glory to men according to his unfathomable designs. He glorified Saint Elizabeth by allowing her to sense our Lord's presence. Thus, she will be forever venerated for having perceived the incarnation so early and sung the praises of Our Lady as Mother of the Child Jesus. However, God also glorified Saint Joseph by hiding Our Lord's presence from him. His ignorance was glorious because it produced a great perplexity in his soul when he was confronted with the reality of Our Lady's pregnancy. It forced him to prove his love for God and demonstrate the height of his virtue. No man in history weathered so great a storm while practicing such virtue as he. Therefore, for all times, he will be the patron of those who suffer perplexities. Although it is something the faithful are not obliged by the Church to believe, many authors propose that Saint John the Baptist, being the last and greatest prophet of the Old Testament, synthesized all the glories of official prophetism. They suggest that he was entirely lucid in his mother's womb. Thus, he appraised the sacredness of the Mother of God and the Incarnation, heard Our Lady's voice, felt the presence of God, and leapt for joy. At that moment, he was sanctified. This is the power of Our Lady. The mere echo of her voice instantly converted Saint John to a high degree of sanctity. We too should hope for this grace. We should ask her to speak to the innermost regions of our souls and instantly sanctify us. One word from her can bring us to a degree of virtue that years of struggle without her help could not obtain. Whenever we lose spirit, feel sadness, or are perplexed in our spiritual lives, I recommend we pray, paraphrasing the prayer the priest says before communion, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou should enter into my house, but only say a word and my soul will be healed." We should pray, "Our Lady, I am not worthy to hear thy voice, but only say a word, and my soul will be changed. If thou so will it, I will be changed in an instant." We should ask Our Lady to grant us the same grace she gave to Saint John the Baptist, namely, that she speak to our souls, make them leap for joy, and sanctify us. And with that, the professor concludes. Now, there's a part in this reflection that I found especially intriguing. It's the part where the professor said, "Through corresponding to the grace of baptism, a Catholic begins to perceive, so to speak, where God is and where he is not." Now, I don't know about you, but my thoughts immediately went to certain movies, books, even novels I've picked up over the years. Sometimes I've had to stop halfway through because I couldn't shake the feeling that the content was pulling me away from God's love rather than toward it. I simply couldn't continue. Have you experienced something similar? Do you, as the professor describes, have that sense of where God is and where he isn't? Please let me know in the comments section below. Wishing you all a blessed feast of the visitation. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, please like and share to help spread Padre Pio's message. Don't forget to subscribe and click the bell so you never miss our latest uploads. Want to deepen your connection with Padre Pio? Consider becoming a protected child of Padre Pio, a special way to grow spiritually and be part of our prayerful community. You'll find a link to the join page in the description below. Check out the specially recommended videos on the end screen or the links in the description for more inspiring content, including our Padre Pio Thoughts for the Day playlist. May Our Lady and Padre Pio bless you, and we'll see you in the next video.